This episode, I'm doing something a little different. It is with my friends Marikel and Gaston, two entrepreneurs who run a business called Hickeys, which is a shoelace replacement that allows you to put on your shoes without tying them. But this episode has nothing to do with Hickeys. It has nothing to do with tech, and it has 100% to do with relationships. We talk about how Marikel and Gaston met, how Gaston courted Marikel for 6 years, how they decided to build a business together once they eventually got together, and how that impacted the relationship, how they've continued to build and strengthen their relationship since, and a lot more. And this episode is obviously an experiment. I've done a few of these, and I really just wanted a formal way to pry into people's romantic and sex life without seeming too weird. And I'm curious if other people enjoy it, because that would give me an even better excuse that is less selfish. So if you do enjoy it, tweet me and let me know. And if you don't think this is lame, also tweet me at Eric Thornburg and let me know. So I'm basically just not going to take silence as an answer. I'm sick of it, frankly, guys. And so make a decision and let's see if we're going to have more of these. Cool. Let me know what you think. All right. Here's Marikel and Gaston. Introduce yourselves very briefly.
My name is Marikel. Mm-hmm. I'm from Argentina. I'm an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I live now in New York.
Cool.
And my business, I do business with my husband. We both have a company together.
You're also a dancer and a photographer. Don't forget about that.
I haven't danced and I haven't taken pictures for a while, but I love that he sees me as so many things. I like that.
Yeah. And Gaston?
I'm Gaston, and yeah, I'm Marikel's husband, and we are living life like an adventure. So that's our motto.
Okay, so you guys know each other for how long?
Wow.
We met when we were, I'm the numbers guy, so.
Yeah.
We met when we were 21 and 22.
And now I'm 33, he's 34.
Yeah, so over a year, over 10 years.
We met at a birthday party that he crashed. It was a friend of mine was having a birthday party and she crashed the party. He crashed the party. So, you know, I started talking with him and everything that he was saying was wrong.
No, I was being annoying, but everything that you were saying was wrong. But I was being annoying.
We started fighting right away.
Right away.
Yeah.
Why is this?
It's interesting because
he's being a smart ass.
Yeah, but it talks to how we live now,
yeah.
Right? So these friends introduce us, and they say you will get along because you're studying the same thing in rival schools, right?
What were you studying?
What
were you studying?
Business. Yeah, business management.
He was in Argentina.
So, the first thing that comes out of Marikel's mouth is, "Oh, so we're going to be competing for the same jobs." A few years later, I learned that she's very competitive, but that's the first thing that comes out of her mouth. And I said, "Well, don't worry, I will never work for anyone, so you can have all the jobs."
And I said, "Like, well, if you're not gonna plan to work for anybody, like, what are you studying for?" And he said, "I'm studying because I love what I study, like, just for the, you know, for the pleasure of knowledge." And I was like, "Just fuck you." He was making me sound so bad.
Yeah.
He was like just being this smart-ass kind of like hippie business guy.
I was never a hippie face at the same
time. The fun thing is that like we met again like 3 years after or 4 years after that, and I had my own business and he was working for JP Morgan.
That's funny.
Like, what the fuck happened?
Did you rub it in?
Yeah,
of course.
Wait, so you met this night, you were attracted to him.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were attracted to America.
Of course.
Yeah, you had this argument, you sparked, and then you didn't take off?
So then I told him, "Okay, shut up and give me a kiss." I didn't want him to speak anymore. He was spoiling everything, you know. So we kissed. We had a really good kiss. And then, you know, the next day he calls me as a nice gentleman. He asked me out on a proper date.
Yeah.
So we went out and we had a fantastic night.
Uh-huh.
Great night. We had a lot of fun, like a lot of talking. We spent the whole night together, like really great. And I knew he was going to be important. I had this feeling that everything was so perfect. that, you know, like he was going to be like something, someone important in my life. So I decided I would never pick up the phone again. So actually he started calling me and calling me to ask me out again. And I would cancel him. I would like not show up to the date, or at the end, I like didn't
awful.
pick up the phone.
Well, because you were scared.
Yeah, I was not ready for that relationship.
You were 22 years old. 22.
Yes, I was too young. I was very focused on my career, on my goals, like as a woman in business. Like, you know, my father was always wanted to have a boy. You know, I was like, no, I can get distracted now. I have
wow.
to get to, you know, what I do. And I think I wasn't emotionally ready for this. And some part of me knew that. He doesn't understand that. But when I talk to a woman and I tell them about this, it's like, oh, I totally understand. And I was like, what do you mean? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like, I had the best day, so I never picked up the phone again.
Yeah,
and somehow that makes sense.
Maybe if the day wasn't as good, maybe she would have picked up the phone.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so, did people try to convince you otherwise? Did people try to say, no, come on. Go on with them.
No, I think I was in an age where all my friends were also single, so
gotcha.
It was like nobody was really like eager for me to have a boyfriend.
Yeah. And at the same time, I was like completely in love with her, like lost.
Right.
So
you were devastated.
Yeah. So I would show up at her house like just to kidnap her.
Yeah.
And she would kick me out, like that kind of stuff. So
did you meet her parents?
No, no, her parents died when she was younger.
Yeah.
Actually, a year before I met you.
Yeah,
your dad.
A year before I met you, maybe.
Yeah.
But actually, I always talk to him about my parents because he would have loved my parents.
Yeah.
Like, and they would have loved him. Like,
yeah.
We have a lot of things in similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then he would, like, call me randomly, and I was on a relationship.
This is years later.
Years later.
And I was still, like, every 6 months, I would just give it a try, right?
Yeah.
And I would just call her because I could never get her out of my head. And this went on for 6 years.
Oh my God. So why did you go in other relationships but not him?
Because the other guy was not as good, so that was okay for her.
Basically.
Oh my God.
It was a safe relationship.
It was safe. Yeah, exactly. It's like contained.
Yeah.
And then he would call me and it's like, are you still with that guy? It's like, yes. Do you want to have a lover? And I'd say no. It's like, okay, you have my number. If you change your mind, call me. And he would like hang up, and or he would send me random presents to where I work, to my hotel. And I was like, who sent me this, you know? And then he would call me like, did you receive my present? Did you like it? He was so persistent.
And it was flowers. What was it?
It was juice. Because I don't know when, one day we met up at a club and I was a little drunk and I said, I really like this juice, you know, but it was drunk talking. But he remembered, he like sent me a box of those juices to my hotel, and then I didn't remember, like, what is this? Why is this on my hotel? Like,
it was much deeper, but I just love that that's all she remembers.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically.
Wow.
Because the advertisement on that juice was about this couple that would always meet at the wrong time.
Mm.
So then they finally meet when they are 80 and they finally are together.
Yeah.
So she was telling me about this juice and that this advertising, how she thought about us each time she saw it.
Right.
So I sent her a box of those juices.
Wow.
Yeah.
But she never got it. She thought that I was trying to poison her.
And so literally for 6 years... until you're 28. And I'm sure you're dating other people at the time,
yeah.
too.
So what happened was that I was in this other relationship, but I would still think about her. And I was actually living with my girlfriend. She was very sweet. It was all good,
yeah.
But I was still in love with her and with Maricar. So what happened is that then we both were invited to the same wedding. And we really don't have many friends in common. But we were invited to this wedding, and I knew that she was going. And I couldn't stop thinking about going to the wedding and seeing her, but I was in this other relationship. So everything was, there was something clearly wrong, right? So a friend of mine calls me a week before this wedding and says, I just found out that Maricar is single.
Oh, my God.
Because my sister just dated his ex-boyfriend. So... I think that you should know this. I said, okay. So that day I went back home and I ended my relationship with my girlfriend.
Even before talking to her?
I had no idea what was going to happen. So I ended it and I packed all my things and I went to my mom's house. And I called the bride and I said, look, my plus one is not going to happen. It's just me. And she said, okay, that's fine. So then...
And then the bride calls me. She was a little worried because I didn't know so many people in the wedding. And she calls me and is like, listen, I know you don't know a lot of people in the wedding, but Gaston is going to this wedding alone. Like, he broke up with his girlfriend, so, you know, you can hang out with him. And it's like, oh, he's going alone? Like, nice. Okay, don't worry about me. I'm going to be fine. And I call him, and we haven't talked for, like, 3 years. No?
Yeah.
Or, like...
A couple... Well, 1 year at least.
1 year at least.
Yeah.
And I call him and it's like, hi, you know, remember me? And so you're going to his wedding, I'm going to his wedding. Like, do you want us to go together? And he was playing, like, interesting. He was like, oh, yeah, maybe, I don't know. Let me think about it.
Why are you doing that? Just to play hard to get?
No, because actually I was in a little of a mess because my girlfriend said...
That would be an interesting story if if there was an ex-boyfriend.
No. That was just my poor English.
I'm kidding.
My ex-girlfriend said, okay, these guys are my friends too. I will still go to the wedding. Like, we don't hate each other, so we can hang out. I said, actually, you cannot go to the wedding.
Yeah.
I said, fuck you, I'm going to the wedding.
Wow.
So she called me to go to the wedding, and I was super excited, but I said, oh, fuck.
So
the end, she didn't go, and it was all good then.
Yeah, I remember for that wedding, like, I had enough money to either go for groceries or purchase a dress. And I went and I decided to purchase a dress, the dress that I for this wedding. I was like, okay, I don't care, I'm not going to eat for a month. But I need to have this dress for this wedding because Gaston is going.
Mm.
It was a winning killer dress.
It was
So he picks me up. He actually borrowed his brother's car, which was a BMW.
Yeah, it was like this fancy car.
Really fancy car.
I had this shitty car, but my brother had a fancy car. And my shitty car was at my former's house. So I didn't have a car.
So he wanted to impress me. So he had a new suit. He was waiting for me outside of my house, you know, like... laying on this BMW, and I saw him and I said, like, that's not your car.
First thing she tells me.
And he's like, thank God you noticed. I don't know how to turn it on.
That's funny.
It's my brother, so I have to call him.
That's funny.
No, but we went to this wedding and it was amazing. We had an amazing time. And 3 months after that, we were living together, and then 3 months after that, we were getting married.
Wow.
Yeah.
When did it turn on for you that, you know, you were ready to give him a chance? Was it before the wedding, or was the wedding really the...
No, it was... So, when I broke up my previous relationship, that's when I knew that I was ready for what's going to be real. Because... the reason I broke up with that relationship is because something in me opened up and I just couldn't fool myself anymore.
Wow.
I couldn't do what was against my heart anymore. So it was like my mind stopped dominating, you know, what I feel. And I don't know why that happened, but it happened. And so I was unable to continue with that relationship. And when I saw him, I was in this openness is what, like, made me so certain that he was the right choice. I didn't need time. I didn't need time,
right.
Like a year relationship, like 5 year relationships to know that I wanted to marry him or live with him.
Right.
Just, it felt right. And I was able to listen to what I was feeling.
And how long ago was this?
This was 4 years ago.
Oh, this was...
when?
Almost... 6 years ago.
Ah, the whole wedding?
Yeah, the first
wedding,
new
date.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
Wow. And so you pursued this girl, by the time you met and by the time you married, how long was that?
6 years.
No.
Since
when
first
we
met
the first time.
Yeah.
In the party.
Until we
got
married.
until we got married.
Yeah, like six years.
And until now?
And that was like 5 years ago.
So it's 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, did you think when you kept pursuing her that there might be a chance that she might say yes? Because you don't see that nowadays. People just say, oh, okay, boom, swipe right, you know?
Yeah. I was certainly hoping for everything, right?
Yeah.
The thing is that I had a lot of time to process this, so.
Yeah.
And what it was funny for me, and it never happened before, and it's still like that, is like I couldn't stop thinking about her during all this time, and I wouldn't see her for months, and then I would still wake up and think about her.
Wow.
So it was that powerful. So I had no choice, right?
Yeah, the no choice thing is interesting.
Yeah. It's like a lot of people say, oh, you're so persistent. I say, well, persistence is something that you do, and it sounds like you're forcing yourself.
Right.
But I had no choice. Like, this is what happened to me, and I couldn't manage it, so.
That's what my dad says, too.
Yeah.
That's funny. And so now, like, when you see Esther Perel give these, like, relationship talks, what does it make you guys think? Like, now that you have exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Like, do you get restless? Like, you know.
I always get restless. because it's like she talks about not the nice part of the relationship. She always talks about the hard part. She talks about infidelity. She talks about all these things. And of course, like,
desire.
Yeah, desire and all these things. And what I like is that it triggers all these conversations among us. So, but I think that we have the pretty ideal relationship. And
yeah.
That's why we took it even to the next level and we decided to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at one point, as soon as we got married, what happened is that I used to be an investment banker and she used to have a hotel. So we wouldn't see each other at all, right? I would be traveling or working till very late. And then this idea started growing in me and in us that, like, society's design is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I spend all my time working for my family, which I never see. And then when I get back home, I just replay my day, which I didn't like.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, this is fucked up. So, and then you are doing something that you're not passionate for. Sometimes you are even working with people that you don't like.
Right.
So why don't we put ourselves through all this? And then the other thing that we started thinking is that families used to work together all the time.
Right.
Like farms. And only in the last 100 years this changed. So we said, why don't we give it a try? And we just redesign our life. No?
Yeah. We like working together, but it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, we do fight a lot. We are opposites. So it's not that we always agree and always get along. That's real, but we don't hide it. We don't, like, our employees see us fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just go through it because also it teaches, like, I often ask myself, like, why is it that this is happening to us? Like, why are we working together? Like, why did life present this scenario for us? It's like, okay, there's something that we have to learn about each other and that we have to, that we need to learn about each other to improve our relationship because, you know, today is with a company, tomorrow maybe it's with kids.
Right.
But we will have to be able to blend.
How do you guys handle fights? If you have serious fights.
Yeah, we are Latin, so it's like, it can go really crazy.
Sometimes things fly.
I remember once, Gaston was so sweet, he told me, like, you've been working so hard, I think you should take a year, you know, just go and do dancing and do, like, photography and art. And I was like, no, I can't feel useless. And he's like, no, trust me, it's going to be good for you. And, like, a month after that, he comes home and I grab a frying pan and I threw the frying pan to his head. Fortunately, he ditched the frying pan. There was still a hole from that thing on the wall. And I would scream, like, I'm not your fucking housewife. I'm going to stay here all day doing the dishes. I'm sorry, I was just trying to help
that's
you.
Funny. Oh my god.
That kind of crazy is how the fights get. But we sort it out all the time. All the time. It's like we know that it can get like that, but we always know that at the end of the day, we're gonna, you know, yeah.
What
be
I like,
again.
What I like about it is that we always finish in a better place than where we started before
yeah.
the fight. It's like it yeah. helps us to figure stuff out, and then we end up evolving through that. And I always say that, and this was something like sometimes for me it's easy to see things when I put a name around it, right? So I was saying that we used to have a set of challenges, that is that we would never see each other, right? And now we have a completely different set of challenges, that is that we see each other all day long, right? But if you ask me, I love the set of challenges that I have right now compared to the ones that I had
right.
before, so I choose it every single day, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is what we're doing now. We love it. And I would, I don't imagine going to the office without her.
Right.
I think that also from what you were saying about Esther, that she triggers like a lot of very interesting points about desire and, you know, intimacy. And so it's not the act of infidelity, but it's like what triggers that act, like where does it come from? If it's, so it's very interesting. But so for us, like we have a really like open and sincere relationship with desire as well, and with how we desire each other.
I'm intrigued where this is
going. We have a really healthy sex life.
Yeah.
And it's a very active sex life. And, you know, we both are attractive to each other.
Yeah.
And we make the effort to keep being attractive to each
right.
other. So we take care of ourselves, you know, physically. And, you know, we don't diminish the other. Or we always try to be nice to each other as well. So not even jokes, you know, like married jokes.
Yeah.
And these kind of things that
yeah.
slowly...
Like put each other down.
Put yeah. each other down. So... By being very aware of that,
yeah.
we like I think we do a good job of having like we always wanna touch each other. We wanna
mm-hmm.
yeah, like you know,
yeah.
we have this desire.
And we care for each other.
We care for each other. So yeah, it's like being so intimate didn't ruin like the desire part
mm-hmm.
in our case. Let's check out again in 10 years.
Yeah. When you see other, you know, friend couples that, you know, a lot of us have who are experimenting with kind of seeing other people and bringing them into the relationship, is that, how do you guys think about that?
So the first thing is that I've never met one of those couples. Yeah. But if it works for them, that's fine. I can't imagine how that would work for us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I cannot imagine.
I like them. I like the openness of them
yeah.
and they're being so sincere and willing to try things. Yeah, I think I don't want it for us, but
yeah, I don't imagine with our kind of love and relationship
that it would actually hurt us.
No, it would be impossible.
Yeah.
But again, we're Latin.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I ever meet a couple like that, I would have a lot of questions.
But what I like is the openness and the, yeah, open-minded and, like, the openness of heart. Because I remember when I was a little kid and people would ask me, like, oh, are you going to get married when you're old? And I would say yes. And it's like, are you going to find a nice guy? And he's like, maybe it's a girl. Maybe it's not a guy. And even when I was little, I was conscious enough to know that the heart can go in different ways and not the way that society tells you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen also, you know, maybe you don't love one person, maybe you
right.
love three person, maybe you're connected with three people, or like, you know, things like that. I think it's, I dig that. Yeah.
How do you guys view kids?
Yeah, we really want to have kids.
Yeah.
At the same time, we were waiting for the right time. Which always everyone says there is
yeah.
not a right time, right? But we were extremely, extremely busy and all over the place with our company, our project, and you know, building our life in New York. So I think that now we are ready. We have been talking about it, and yeah, we want to.
Gaston wants kids a little more than what I want. So I'm using that to negotiate.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm negotiating, okay, but you're going to do life first too, and you're going to have to work half day because you have to help me.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I want kids too, but I'm like afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it would just take up your life.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
it's such a big change forever.
Right.
I guess super independent and super active. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you get scared that, you know, you push it off for 5 years or something, then you won't be able to or something?
I was, but I'm not anymore. We have a friend, and he's starting a company that it actually wants to turn infertility clinics into fertility clinics. So he wants to make it common that women are able to freeze their eggs. And I think it's a fantastic idea. He convinced me to do it, and I'm going to do it. So
wow.
I'm just going to freeze my eggs.
Because the biggest challenge is not the first, what he was explaining us. And I was completely against it in the beginning, right? So no. Like, we're organic.
Yeah.
So why are we doing all this?
It's not an organic baby.
Yeah. But at the same time, what he was explaining us, and it makes sense because I'm 34, Monica is 33, is that usually it's not an issue for the first baby, but then when you want to have your second or third, and you are closer to the 40s, that's when it gets difficult. So many couples have a hard time having their second or third child. So probably we'll have our first baby organically, but then we want to have the option to have more babies further down in life.
Yeah.
And not being pressured to have babies right now because the biotechnology clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's something that we're thinking about it.
So, I mean, I want to go back to the beginning where you had this desire and love for Merkel, and it wasn't going away, and you kept kind of pursuing it periodically.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever think, and you were putting, it seemed, everything out there.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you should try different approaches?
I tried every single approach. I don't know which one worked, but I think that what it worked is that I called this girl that was getting married, so maybe I touched according to my girl's feminine side. I don't know. I tried it all. So it's not that I was trying different approaches, but at the same time, I was always being myself. Yeah. It's not that I was pretending to be someone else.
Right.
That I was not. Like, when I picked up her with my brother's guy, the first thing I told him is, thanks God that you noticed, because I have no idea how to turn it on, right? So.
You know what? He never took it personal.
Yeah.
He never felt like rejected.
That's,
I think, what's the magic. Because he never approached me with resentment or anger.
Wow, yeah.
Never.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's true.
It takes a lot of courage.
He was always happy.
Or self-confident.
Yes, so self-confident. But I don't know if it was self-confident. I think it was, he has this thing, and he is part of how he is. But he's so pure. And he doesn't take it the wrong way. He's like, it's not personal. Like,
right.
He was not thinking about what I want. He was only thinking what he wanted, what he knew, like the truth. He was like, I know better than you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. You don't hear those stories anymore today.
Yeah,
I know. People are like very calculated.
not only that, everyone feels that they have a lot of options.
Yeah.
And no one is willing to put the work, I think.
Yeah.
No one is. If it gets a little bit tough, they just blew it. So, okay, fuck it. I'll find someone else.
Yeah.
And, that's an option. That's a way of doing things. But it's not what it worked for me.
If you find yourself giving relationship advice or when you see couples coming to you, or what are some common things that you find yourself telling or that you would tell?
Often they don't think so much.
Yeah.
People think too much, and they think about logistics a lot.
Give an example.
I'm in love with this person, but, you know, he got a job, I don't know where, and he has to move there, so we cannot date. And it's like, that's logistics.
Right.
If you're in love with somebody, you know, just...
Yeah, you figure it out.
You figure it out. If you're not there yet emotionally, that's one thing, but... But if you live somewhere else or you have different jobs or... I think love should be first. I think what you feel for another person should come first than any other, like, outside thing.
What's the best advice that you've heard through this podcast series?
I think it was the one about the ocean in terms of jealousy and how someone got over jealousy, which was essentially... there's no envy. Everything is a continuation of a past relationship, and we're all on like the same team here.
Yeah.
And even just, not just envy in terms of seeing other people, but possessiveness or not taking things personally, because, you know, it's never about
Yeah, I think the other thing I would say is like what Gaston did, like not taking things personally.
Yeah.
Try to leave your ego out, and like if somebody rejects you, but you know it's that person, just go for it. Also, like he didn't care I had a boyfriend, he didn't care I have a husband, or like he wouldn't care.
Yeah.
You know, he just knows what he knows, he went for it. That's maybe a very Latin thing also. Like,
maybe, I don't know.
Like in Argentina it's like...
No, but it's not, no. Love is not Latin. You don't have a monopoly in that. And when you're in love, you just...
Yeah.
That's what happens.
I know, but it's like having, like being in our relationship wouldn't have stopped you from pursuing what you want with me.
Didn't.
And that's an incredible act of faith to...
Yeah.
You really put it all on the line.
Yeah.
I think that the best advice that I could give is like, sometimes when people, and we have a common friend, and I gave this advice to her a long time ago, it's like, she really liked this guy, but they were just starting dating, right? And at one point she said, well, but I think that I'm also going to see other people until we become exclusive. I said, well, don't do that, because then you are not giving this relationship a fair chance.
Right.
You don't know how this guy is going to react to you doing that, even though you haven't had the exclusivity talk that is so common here in the US, but for me it's a nonsense. But anyway, I said, like, give this relationship a real chance. If not, you're blowing it up before it starts. So I think that that's something that I've seen that it doesn't make sense to me. And I think that it's because people are scared.
Right. That's a beautiful way to close. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.